Hi, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Good to see you all. And it's real good to be back in the house of God. Opportunity to praise and worship and be with one another, see one another, rejoice with one another. It's just, we've missed it so much, haven't we? I think for a few weeks we'll just be saying that, so don't get fed up with it. We have missed it so much and it's really good to be back. This morning we are going to continue our series. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount and found in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. And it's the Beatitudes. Basically, they're instructions from Jesus about how to help us in life. Things that will, if we can find the right attitude towards these things, if we can find just a pattern that he expresses here, then we will be blessed. We will receive the blessing of God. And today we're going to look at the second one of the Beatitudes in verse 4, Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I suppose this is about how we rise above the pain of inevitable loss in our lives. Those of us who are, I say those of us who are a bit younger, you know, I include myself in that. That might be a mistake. You know, my last kind of experience, I think my brother-in-law, that was very unexpected 2 years ago. My grandmother before that. The older you get, the more likely it is that you're going to encounter that experience of loss. But there is also sometimes a sudden arrival in our household. And it's how to deal with that. And this sermon, I suppose, and the message from this little verse is to help us to understand and handle that loss. Blessed are those who mourn. It's about how God also blesses a broken heart, that they will be comforted. So when we feel crushed, when we feel that inner conflict, when we feel maybe surrounded by chaos because of what's been going on, when we feel overwhelmed by confusion, we can't quite understand it, God can work in those dark days. That's the first thing for me to say about this little verse is God can work in those dark days, those difficult times. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the first key thought that I want us to look at is God does not expect me to be happy all the time. Now, that's good news for those of you that are miserable all the time. We've met some like that, haven't we? Can I name a few names today? No, I won't do that. But, you know, we have this maybe understanding of Christianity that, you know, we're happy all the time. And there's a kind of an experience of joy that never goes away. There's a kind of a laughter and a smile, and that is how we are. But today is about this understanding that we're allowed to have strong feelings. We're allowed to have even bad feelings, difficult days, times of despair that might come to us, maybe even depression. There was a kind of a experience in my life where I was part of a church, and the idea that somebody would be depressed was almost like anathema. You can't have that, was the expression. You've got Jesus, you know, you can't. But actually the reality is of life is that sometimes things bring us so far down that we get depressed. And it's difficult to lift ourselves. And never be afraid of going to the doctor. I worked in mental health for over 10 years. And I saw the benefit of medication for many people, for many types of illness. Never be afraid to go to the doctor. It's one of the ways that God can help you. One of the ways that God can bless you, can help you in your life, with somebody who you sit in front of, they understand where you are, they know what to order, and you can receive that help. And as it's kind of monitored and checked, you can find your way out of difficult situations, difficult days. Sometimes grief, sometimes mourning. And that's appropriate at certain times because we might have significant loss in our lives. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Grief itself can be very real and very powerful. It could be that it's over, I mean, there's several, lots of things that you can grieve over, but it could be over the loss of a job. It's not just about money in your bank or in your pocket. It's about significance. It's about esteem. It's about you losing something that would maybe be an opportunity ahead of you, losing hope, or where hope goes because you've lost a job. For some, you may experience, and there is the awful experience of where we would be guarding our reputation, but then something happens that brings shame. Shame upon our family or shame upon our lives. And that's a great loss. And that kind of grief, when we get into that situation, can be very real and very powerful. But of course, the worst kind of grief is the loss of a loved one, where you're left without a friend or without a partner. There is such a thing as good grief. And I think that I'm going to try and say a little bit about that this morning, because blessed are those who mourn. Well, we have to try and understand how to mourn well. Good grief. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We're allowed to have strong feelings. The second key thought is that that idea of good grief is essential to our health and well-being, for us emotionally and even physically, maybe spiritually as well. You know, we include all these things. Grief is such a painful journey, but ultimately a crucial journey. Ultimately, it's for our health and well-being. It's a healthy opportunity. And grief, this opportunity to mourn and to mourn well, we have to understand that it's God's gift to us at these difficult times to help us get through the painful transitions of life. In very rough terms, there are four stages of grief. The first one is shock. Hits your heart, hits your whole being, numbness. Call it depersonalization, where you feel completely disconnected from just everything. The second stage would be, they call it arousal, where you're kind of faced with a real alarm in your life, alarm bells going off and fear that rises and an agitation and even anger. And it might prompt that idea of revisiting places, revisiting the hospital, or even the rejection of new things and the preoccupation with old things, the pining and the yearning. The third stage would be depression, where there's a real despair that kind of comes over your life. This is the best way that I can describe despair, is to say that it is the opposite of hope. No hope, despair. And sometimes it's attached to a worthlessness or even a feeling of guilt or being out of control. We've been studying the book of Jonah, and when you read the story of Jonah, that chapter 2 where Jonah is swallowed by the fish, and Jonah is spiraling down and down, and you read about his encounter in the, the feeling of going down, his feeling of being out of control, his feeling of seaweed that is wrapped tightly around his head, the bands that were around his head. You feel, and when it gets to eventually, it's almost a description of somebody who's depressed, in a prison, trapped and going down and down. And he gets to verse 7 and he says, "When my life was ebbing away, I turned to you, Lord." And that aspect, we're never so far gone that we cannot turn to God, that we cannot reach out to him. And the Bible says, "I turned to you and I remembered the things." And there was this beginning of, and the fourth stage that you get to in this series is a stage of what they call resolution, where there becomes more of an accept. This is almost as though the big fish has vomited you up and you're now on dry land again. But there's stuff that you've got to get rid of and clean off and look smart and present yourself to the world and all of that. But that idea of resolution includes perhaps finding new routines, finding a new identity of perhaps singleness, finding improvement physically. These significant turning points might be areas like an anniversary or new relationships might help. And all these four stages, very roughly described by me this morning, they constitute a journey where you have to keep progressing. Blessed are those who mourn well. Each stage is important. So you never actually get over it. You have to come through it. And if you don't come through it, there's a possibility of where you're stuck, emotionally stuck. And that can be very detrimental to you, very damaging for your life and for people around you. It's a journey. And obviously, some people take longer than others to go through each of these stages. And you must never judge those who take a little bit longer. All of these strong feelings, it's important that we have these feelings. We are allowed these feelings. And we must not repress it. We must not suppress it. But we find ways, the Bible and God wants us to find ways to express it, ways to share our pain, ways to share our burden, ways to connect with family and fellow believers. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because of COVID, our nation has experienced great loss, the whole nation. But families and individuals have known what it is to mourn. And at this point, I'd like to introduce Sandra. She's going to come. You know Sandra, she's going to come and just share a few moments about her experience over this last little while. I felt this was an opportunity for us to really connect the reality. This is where the rubber hits the road with sermons like this. So she's so brave today. Let's give her a welcome. I've got the mic. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a privilege to stand here for my God and honour him through all this year, this tragedy, for a lot of people. And it's no coincidence that on mine I had put, as we sing, "It is your breath in my lungs, how can I not give praise?"
Yeah, hallelujah.
And I know that we've all faced different challenges and but I know God has been with me throughout.
Yeah, good.
And when Andy took ill, I was studying the book of Acts at the time. And in Acts 4:30 stood out for me, which says, in the New Living Testament, "Stretch out your hand with healing, Almighty God." And God has blessed me with comfort and peace, even in the time that Andy was in the hospital. I could have peace and prayer and worship. I had it on constantly in the house. And I relied on my small group, who were amazing. We met 3 times a week. And they supported me greatly. And it's important because this is how God uses people. That's how he helps us through hard times. He brings along people beside us that can share with us, that can uplift us, and that can maybe cry with us. But there's always people God will use to see you through whatever your circumstances. And one of the verses that wasn't easy, but it did comfort in the end, was Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near those that are brokenhearted. He saves us. He saves our crushed spirit. And that's how he uses his people to help us. So it's important for people to have that church family, to have others surrounding them. And in that time, I had good neighbours. You know who my neighbour is, the most of you, Gillian and Trevor Mundy and their children. They checked in on me nearly every day until they took COVID and were too ill to come. They would come to my window just checking up on me, making sure that I needed. This is how God blesses us. He uses all these people. And he tells us that he would leave the 99 to come and look for me. That one person that feels alone, that has wandered away, that is lost, that is hurt, he will come and look for us. I also, through my church family, had Jane would text me and she sang to me over the phone and recorded it so that I could keep it. There's so many songs that have seen me through. One being an old one, and it's important that we teach our children from an early age, because one that I remember from Sunday school was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Yeah. And in that song, it reminded me of James 4, verse 8, when it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." And I certainly felt his presence during all the time, from Andy going to hospital until we buried him, and every day since. I use worship songs a lot, and in these songs, if you look, there is usually a passage from the Bible in some of them. In the most of them, you could take a few words and look up a passage in the Bible. So again, I have Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock. And then it led me to the song, "You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is an anchor. My hope is in you alone." And one of the times I even spoke to Trevor, and I said, in my circumstances, how can I not be like Horatio G. Spafford, who sang, "It is well with my soul." He lost so much more. He lost 4 children on a voyage. And then he also lost a son later. So how could I not praise God? And in all that time as well, I would put to use the Celebrate Recovery program that I had done for years through this church and helped. And that also seen me through, because it brought me back to the basics of God. He was there for me He was there to help me, to comfort me, to use people. And to be able just to focus on him allowed me to worship him and change my sadness to joy and peace. And also this morning when I'm travelling down, there's just that reminder that to do this, because I was praying to God, give me the strength, let me see me through this and the words that I should use. Let me help someone who's hurting. And the song on the channel was this morning, lay down my worries, or lay my worries down, by a version called Sandra McCracken. And I thought, how apt, God, you're telling me that this is right, because all will be well. Yeah. And you can get through the grief. Yeah. It's amazing what God does. So I ask anyone not in a small group that you channel in there, because they're a great support. They bring God's message to you and they see you through the hard times. But God alone is the one who is the rock, yeah, and supports us.
Praise God. Thank you. That's really good. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for your willingness and your bravery this morning. God blesses us and comforts us. And when we have a broken heart, God finds a way. And there's four ways I just quickly want to run through. Sandra has mentioned some of them, but the first thing is that God blesses a broken heart with proximity. God comes close to us and draws us close to himself. Sandra mentioned the verse from Psalm 34, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We serve a God who is both far off and yet really close. He's high and mighty, and yet he is Emmanuel, God with us. In Bible College terms, he is transcendent and imminent. And at those tough times, those difficult days, the difficult experiences, we need to feel him close. We need to feel him drawing close to us. In Matthew chapter 14, there's the story of the disciples that they're out in a boat. The journey started well, but then the storm rose up and they were caught in a storm, and it was a really bad storm. A storm so bad they couldn't row. They were helpless. Stuff that they would be able to do with their eyes closed normally, they couldn't do. And so they were in a storm. This is like the storms of life, stuff that you can do normally when the storms come. Something just, you can't do it. You feel as though you're completely out of control. And then Jesus began to approach them. He's walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him, the Bible says they became terrified, really scared. And you can imagine them kind of throwing themselves under the rigging or whatever was down on the boat and trying to hide under one another, because the Bible says they thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a specter or a phantom. Jesus, they thought, was back on the shore. That is transcendent. But Jesus walking on water, imminent. And sometimes in the storms of life, you know, when you're particularly in grief, our vision Even when God is drawing close to us, even when Jesus is coming near, our vision of that can sometimes be so distorted by what's going on around us that it's hard to see things clearly. It's hard to see that God can come close at those times. It's hard to see that even those who love you and who you love, you maybe see them in a bad light. Maybe see in such a way that you even would want to hide from them. But God blesses a broken heart with proximity. Jesus walks on water. Hallelujah. Never forget it. And God has said, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. And God blesses a broken heart with empathy. God knows about our grief. In the story of Lazarus, John chapter 11, in verse 35, you find the smallest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. It's the smallest verse, but it has huge meaning for us. Those two words, Jesus wept, what it does, it says, we have a God who cares. We have a God who sympathizes, who understands. We have a God who knows us. Jesus wept. And he becomes, even in that moment, a great example, particularly to us as men. Now, this is easy for me to say because I'm crying all the time, right? But, praise God, there's another brother down here. But listen, guys, don't be afraid of it. I mean, don't cry all the time like Eric, but don't be afraid of it. Sometimes there's a release, an opportunity to find a way to be sad, a way to be disappointed, a way to be unhappy, even a way to be angry by shedding a tear. And I'm so glad that Jesus was not afraid to be seen crying. Jesus wept. In Isaiah 61 verses 2 and 3, speaking of Jesus, it says, Jesus is sent to comfort all who mourn, to give to those who mourn in Zion joy and gladness instead of grief, and a song of praise instead of sorrow. So not only proximity and empathy, but God blesses a broken heart with family. And this is the strong point that Sandra was making, and God places us in church for support. It's a healthy thing to grieve in community. We're better together. We can share the burden together. We are brothers and sisters in God's family. And so we celebrate success together. And we mourn together with those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4, it says this, God comforts us in all of our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So church family can be a real blessing. Sandra has witnessed that. She has testified to that this morning. And she has said, small groups can really help. They are good for prayer support. They are good for encouragement. They are good for advice and little bits of wisdom. They are good. This idea of how we receive comfort, but not only how we receive comfort, but how we can give comfort. How we can not just be in our shell and say, well, thank you, Lord, thank you for that. I'm feeling very comforted. But we can take that we have received, travel into a house group, into a small group, and share it. Now, I know it's difficult at the moment. We're not allowed to do exactly what we need to do in terms of getting together, perhaps. But listen, a time is coming when we've got more freedom. And I would like you to just make a little promise in your head that you're going to really consider the idea of a small group. It is so essential to church growth. It is so essential to discipleship. It is so essential to God's plan for your life and for my life and for our life as a family together. Let's not miss it. Make a little promise to God that you will look out for an opportunity. And just lastly, God blesses a broken heart with proximity, empathy, family, and finally, maturity. God uses our grief to help us to grow. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says this: sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. That's the Good News translation. A painful experience. But God using it to change us, to develop, to mature us, to build our character. God can use every part of our life experience, good or bad, even grief, to help us to become the people that he has called us to be. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And most importantly, we need to remember this, that as Christians and followers of Jesus, you know, we are not grieving as those who have no hope. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of one day seeing him face to face. So we don't grieve and mourn with the way that the world does. We grieve and we mourn with a different experience for ourselves, because we are connected to heaven. We are connected to Jesus. We are connected to the life of God, the Spirit of Christ. We are connected to all of that. We are going somewhere. We are not here forever. But this is God's purpose being outworked in our lives. And one of the ways, it might be through a painful experience. But listen, this is the second beatitude. God blesses those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song. I don't know what song it is, but I'm guessing we'll be able to rejoice as we sing. I want you to just rejoice for Sandra. God has brought her through. I want you to rejoice because of the potential that you have, not just to receive, but to give comfort. And rejoice because this isn't what we are made for. We are made for heaven. And one day we shall be rejoicing with him. So let's rejoice. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Thank you.